This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Rahim wa salatu wa salam ala rasulihi al-kareem sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatihi wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Ya ayyuhal nasu taqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida wa khalaqa minha zawjaha wa batha minhuma rijalan kathiran wa nisa'a. واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد عباد الله اعلموا أن خير الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد, today is my last talk. I'm very happy. Alhamdulillah, finally I'm going home. I'm sure I miss everybody and everybody. I hope everybody missed me too. Now today, I want you, the most powerful thing that you possess, the most powerful thing that I possess and anyone possess is imagination. Nothing more powerful than imagination. So I want you to imagine, I know the topic is the life of a Muslim, but I want you to imagine today in the upcoming exactly 43 minutes and 2 seconds, that you are with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because our lives revolves around the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala order us to follow him, to imitate him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to live our life according to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not according to our entertainer's lifestyle, not according to anyone else other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us begin. We want to start, and I'm going to mention a few points. And since you impressed me yesterday by taking notes, I organized my talk in a way that inshallah you can follow it easily, and you can also bi idnillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala repeat this in a later time of your life, bi-idnihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we're going to start with the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, the purpose of the talk is you and I to reflect on the life of Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, try to imitate him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and live our lives according to how he lived his life sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the best thing is, let us start with the Messenger of Allah from his home. From his home. Now the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after he hears the adhan, he used to wait until iqamah, or just before iqamah. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and remember, I said just before iqamah, because we want to conclude the topic, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finishing his night. Now the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come out of his room, out of his house, whether it's house of Aisha radiallahu anha, and he will go to Bilal, and Bilal's eyes are focused on the house of Aisha, for example. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will come walking, and as soon as he walks out of that curtain, the sahaba would stand up and they will be ready for iqamah. And the Messenger of Allah would say to Bilal radiyallahu anhu, أرحنا بها يا بلال. سبحان الله. He will say, comfort, O Bilal, comfort us with the prayer. أرحنا بها يا بلال. So the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would lead two beautiful rak'ah of Salat al-Fajr. Keep in mind, the sunnah, he prayed at home. He did not pray at the masjid. He prayed the sunnah of Salat al-Fajr, which is Salat al-Subh. He prayed them at home. So he came and he led the Salah. Listen to Hadith Jabir fi Sahih Muslim. يقول النبي صلى يقول جابر رضي الله عنه يقول كان صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا صلى الفجر صلى في مصلى حتى تطلع الشمس حتى تطلع الشمس أو تطلع الشمس. The messenger of Allah said when he performed Salat al-Fajr, he will stay in his position. He will turn and face the Sahaba and he will stay in his position. Will not just get up and go back or rush. He will remain there. Sometimes, or most of the time, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will do the dhikr, as I said, and he will remain in that position until the sun rises, according to this hadith. And then the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after that, he will sit and ask the Sahaba. He used to say, "Man ra'a minkum al-barihata ru'ya." Which one of you had a dream last night? Which one of you had a dream? So if some of the Sahaba had a dream last night, they would narrate what they saw, and the messenger of Allah will give them the interpretation of their dreams. And sometimes the Sahaba would not respond because none of them had dream. So the messenger of Allah would say to them, guess what? I had a dream last night. Let me tell you what I saw last night. And he would tell them the dream. After that, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to sit with the Sahaba in the masjid. And sometimes they used to talk about the days of Jahiliyyah. They used to talk about what they did at the time of ignorance. They used to talk about how they used to bury their daughters alive, how they used to worship idols, how they used to sacrifice their sons for their idols, and they talk about the days of Jahiliyyah. And sometimes it used to be funny. And Umar ibn al-Khattab would laugh so loud that he would flip over, radiyallahu anhu. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would just smile at them. And sometimes he will participate in the conversation. And he will say, yes. And he will comment on some of the situation. When the sun rises and everybody is done, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray two rak'ah of duha. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi Sunan al-Tirmidhi, he said, Man salla, whoever performs Salat al-Fajr in Jama'ah, and then he remains seated, remembering Allah in his majlis until the sun rises, and then he stands up and he performs two rak'ah, he will be rewarded as though he performed Hajj and Umrah with me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can you imagine the reward of performing Hajj and Umrah with the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? See, a lot of you, a lot of us, we save our money to go to Hajj. We go and we prepare and we save our money so we can go for Umrah and Ramadan. But the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying to you and I, every day you can get the reward of Hajj and Umrah and some of the narration with me, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a golden opportunity. A lot of us, we don't utilize it. We don't capitalize on that opportunity. We pray Fajr, we're quick to leave the masjid for what? Maybe to watch news for what? Maybe just to be with the kids before they head out for school for what? Maybe just to read newspaper. Had you stayed in your musalla and be seated in that musalla until the sunrise and you perform two rak'ah, you would have gained the reward of Hajj and Umrah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I know a lot of you may fail to understand the magnitude of that reward. See, if you perform Hajj alone, the Messenger of Allah said, if you perform Hajj according to the Sunnah, you come back pure from all sins. Imagine had you performed that Hajj with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a ni'mah that we waste every day. After that, after Salah, the Ansar, they used to go to their farms. Khalas, now they have to work. Muhajirin on the other side, they used to go to the marketplace cutting deals because they have no other income other making, you know, business deals on the marketplace. Sometimes the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go home. Now the Ansar are busy. The Muhajirin are busy. He just can't sit in the masjid counting, you know, sheep, counting, you know, just hours. No, he used to go back, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha was asked, radiyallahu anhu. She said, how was the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he comes home? She said, radiyallahu, ya'malu fi bayti. He used to serve his family. Some of the men are like, well, I work outside. You want me to work inside too? Yes. Because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he comes home, Aisha used to say, kana ya'malu fi bayti. He used to work at home. He used to clean. She said, radiyallahu anhum, he was a bashar like any one of you. He said he used to take care of his clothes. He used to, you know, stitch his shoes. He used to serve himself. He would not rely on his wife or maid or anyone else to serve him. But he used to go and make drink, food, and serve himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another narration, exact the same thing, Aisha radiyallahu anha qala kana yakhitu thawba. If his thawb is torn, he would ask for needles and thread, and he used to fix his own thawb, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qalat ya'malu ma ya'malu ar-rijalu fi buyutihim. He used to do what every man would do at home. How many of the sisters, how many of your husbands help you around the house? Don't raise your hand. But most of the men, you know, I don't know about Malaysia. I mean, here is a different country. I don't know much of your culture. But most of men, they don't help around the house. And the excuse that we use is, I work outside. You know, I earn a living for the family. I put the bread on the table. You know, don't ask me to also help you in the house. But mashallah, tabarakallah, you know, it was the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, in this particular sunnah, most of the Muslim women, they know it. Every Muslimah, every sister, she knows the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, serving his family, taking care of himself, helping with the children. Every sister knows that, and every brother, every time he hears a hadith like this, he deletes it from his memory for whatever reason. So the brothers, they delete that part of the sunnah, and they said, you know, mashallah, tabarak. And the sisters, they memorize that sunnah. They love it. In a counseling session that I had, the sister, tabarakallah, she had everything that concerns husbands helping around the house. So she said, didn't Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fix his shoes? I said, yes. She said, tell him. I said, brother, the Messenger of Allah used to fix his shoes. She said, didn't the messenger of Allah used to help his family by sweeping the floor? I said, yes. She said, tell him. I said, brother, he used to do that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, didn't the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, used to help with the children? I said, yes, he used to do that. And she said, tell him, yeah, my sheikh. And I said, and he used to have second wife. She said, no, don't tell him that sunnah. Not that sunnah. I don't want him to know that sunnah. I said, sister, you want him to know all the sunnah concerning, you know, serving? Yes. What about that sunnah? She said, no, I don't want him to know that sunnah. But, and the men, mashallah, the only sunnah of Rasulullah that they know is having second wife. That's given. But the sunnah is to have all of them if you can. If you can't not, then do the best that you can for your family. Now let us go with what the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to eat. How many of you know what the messenger of Allah used to eat for meals? You know, see, we know the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a little bit here and there, but today I want to know the detail of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And by the way, there is no man in the history of humanity that his followers have detailed description of his life like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know everything about. We know from sneezing, from sleeping, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even we know how fast he used to walk. We know how he used to wear his shoes. We know what was his favorite color, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know the name of his camel. We know the name of his servant. We know everything about the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no other nation can claim that, ibadallah. Not the Jews, not the Christian, not the Buddhists. No other nation can tell you about the leaders or anbiya like the Muslims, walillahi alhamd. Number one, the messenger of Allah had principles concerning food. First, Rasulullah never used to criticize food. Never. Men, mashallah, tabarakallah, we criticize everything that we eat. Everything. Yeah. Your wife cooks the food a little bit overcooked, and you're like, you want to kill me? This is what you serve me? You know, your wife adds a little bit extra salt, we complain. Your wife does this, you complain. But the messenger of Allah, تقول عائشة رضي الله يقول أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه ما عاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم طعاما قط. He never criticized food ever. Ever. يقول إن اشتهاه أكل. If he desires the food that was served, he will eat it. وَإِلَّا تَرَكَ. Otherwise, he will not touch it. He will just leave it alone. He will not say, what kind of food is this? Who served this food? And so on. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never used to say anything. And this is what he used to do, as we all know. Please bear with me here because some of the information is very basic, but we need to know the life of Rasulullah. First, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he eats, he used to say bismillah. Not bismillah. A lot of you, I hear some of the Muslims saying, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. I say, why don't you read the whole Fatiha? No, the sunnah is to say just bismillah. You don't have to say bismillahir rahmanir rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Just say bismillah. That's the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he used to say, إذا أكل أحدكم, when one of you eats, فليذكر اسم الله, let him mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فإن نسي, sometimes we just dig and we forget the name of Allah. He said, in case you forget, then remember, and you remember it later on, you should say, بسم الله في أوله وآخره. We know all this. You say, بسم الله أوله وآخره. And then you eat. And when you finish your food by raising your hands, khalas, this is the last bite, you say, Alhamdulillah, hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fihi. You should say that. الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه. Because this is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then when you move from that. But sometimes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also, the sunnah, the third sunnah, is he used to comment on good food. What did we say about when he, if he doesn't like the food, he would not say anything. But if he likes the food, he would comment on it. He would comment on the food. And he would say, this is good food, this is tasty. Like Aisha radiyallahu anha, in one of the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked if there's any seasoning in the house, any spice, something that he can season his food with. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we have nothing but vinegar. And then the Messenger of Allah, he put vinegar on his food and he started eating. And then he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is the best. Vinegar is the best. Vinegar is the best. This is what he used to say, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. During the meal, he used to talk. We're not like other faith that you cannot talk or you talk too much. He used to be in the middle. And not only that, he used to teach during the meal. If there's an opportunity, someone eating the wrong way, someone eating the, you know, things from the wrong side, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to teach the Sahaba and the children. Like he said to that one of the young boys, Amr ibn Abi Salama, when the boy was eating from all over the plate, the Messenger of Allah, Qala ya ghulam, young boy, sammillah, say bismillah, and eat with your right hand, and eat that which is next to you. It's teaching. Especially if you're a parent. You should watch your child. And every time that the child is not doing something according to the sunnah, you teach him. You teach him and you correct that. Point number six, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he had guests, he used to encourage his guests to eat food, to eat more of it. Remember that when you have guests over, like Arab, you know, because we were, they very famous in this. So they give you food. And you eat and they give you more. And you eat and they give you more. And you eat until your janazah comes. They keep feeding you. You know, eat food. And sometimes, you know, they even cut the... This is one of the sunnah that all Arab, especially all Arab, they have that in common. They still give you. They cut the meat and put it on your side of the plate, on your dish. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do the same thing to the sahaba of Nabi sallallahu, to his companion. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the hadith that to illustrate this was when Abu Huraira said, you know, I used to be with the Messenger of Allah all the time. Ansar in their farms, Muhajireen in their business. I'm just a new Muslim. I want to learn as much as I can from Rasulullah. So I didn't no farm, no business, just stay with the Messenger of Allah. This is what he used to do. And then he said, but because I had no earnings, I used to rely on the food that people bring to the masjid. And sometimes, I used to pass out of hunger. Imagine that, subhanAllah. Students of knowledge, he doesn't want to go out of the masjid and earn living, not because he's incapable, but he doesn't want to miss opportunity with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he used to sit there. So he said, sometimes when I, you know, pass out and I tremble out of hunger, people used to put their foot on my neck and they said, he's possessed, he's possessed. And there's no jinn in me, he said, it's just the hunger. So one night he said, one day I couldn't resist. So I stood outside of the masjid, hoping one of the sahaba will take me home as his guest and feed me. So he said, Umar came out of the masjid. But I can't say to him, Ya Umar, you know, why don't you invite me over tonight? It's rude. But I asked him a question, and I hoped he would say to me, you know, Abu Huraira, I will answer your question later on at home. Come and eat with me. So I said, Ya Umar, what is the tafsir of last ayah of Surah Ali Imran, for example? So Umar ibn Khattab, right in front of the masjid, he gave me the tafsir of the ayah. No food. I said, okay, he didn't get my point. So Abu Bakr came. I asked him the same ayah. Ya Abu Bakr, salam alaykum. What is the tafsir of this ayah? And he gave me the tafsir of the ayah. No dinner. Same thing. And then he left. And then the messenger of Allah came out of the masjid. And I want to ask him exact the same question. But the messenger of Allah, before I speak, he smiled. And he said, Abu Huraira, let's go. He said, I walked behind the messenger of Allah. He knew exactly what I want. I went. And I went to the house and he said to his wives, do we have anything? They said, yes, we have little milk that your neighbor got it for you. So Abu Huraira, he said, Alhamdulillah, there's some milk at home. Then the messenger of Allah, he said, Ya Abu Huraira. I said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. He was waiting for him to say, dig in. He said, Ya Abu Huraira, go call everybody in the masjid to drink this milk with us. He said, I said to myself, are you serious? He said, however, there was no labud to answer the order of the messenger of Allah. So I went, and he said, I'm dragging my feet, and I'm saying to myself, what would that little milk do with all the people of the masjid? There would be nothing left in for me. So he said, the worst part was, the messenger of Allah, when I brought everybody from the masjid, and then he said, Ya Abu Huraira, let the first group come in. Now look, he's not drinking milk first, but now he is the host. So I said to myself, he said, there would be no milk for me tonight. So he said, I called in the first group, and the messenger of Allah gave each one of them part of that milk, and everyone had his fill. And then that group left. And I'm looking at the milk, he said, and the milk is still, alhamdulillah, some of it still left. And then he said, Ya Abu Huraira, bring me the next patch. And then the third patch. Finally, he said to me, Ya Abu Huraira, man baqi, who left? I said to him, Ya Rasulullah, no one else except you and I. Then the messenger of Allah said, Ya Abu Huraira, ishrab, drink. So he said, I took the milk from the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I drank until I thought I was satisfied. So I gave it back to him. Then the messenger of Allah said, Ya Abu Huraira, ishrab, Abu Huraira, drink more. And I drank more. And I gave it back to him. He said, no, drink more. He said, until I said, Wallahi walladhi ba'athaka bilhaqi ya Rasulullah, la ajid lahu maslaka. He said, Ya Rasulullah, wallahi, no more space. I'm done. So the sunnah is when you have guests, give your guests more food. Because some of the guests, they shy. Am I right? Some of the guests, they really don't want to, eat in front of you. So give them the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to eat more of them. Number 7, the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you are invited to a house and you eat with the family, just don't leave by saying, mashallah, the food was delicious, salamu alaykum. No, make dua for the family. A messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he is invited to a house and he eats with the family, he used to make dua and say, Allahumma barik lahum fiha rizquhum. Oh Allah, bless the rizq for them. Waghfir lahum, and forgive their sins. Warhamhum, and have mercy on them. 3 things. Allahumma, oh Allah, bless their rizq. They just fed me something. Oh Allah, forgive their sins. Oh Allah, have mercy on my host. And then the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would leave. Now, here also, today time is flying fast and I have so much material. The messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would eat with his right hand, as we all know. But the thing is that we don't know. The messenger of Allah, when he sees, we do, but we don't, we do know it, but we don't implement it all the time. When he sees someone eating with their left hand, the messenger of Allah used to correct them. Because he used to say to the people, eat with your right hand and do not eat with your left. Indeed, shaitan eats with his left. So one of the times, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw a man that is eating with his left. The messenger of Allah said, eat with your right hand. The man said, I can't. Whether it was out of arrogance or out of like, I know I'm used to eating with my left, don't change my habit kind of attitude. Then the messenger of Allah, قَالَ لَسْتَطَعْتَ, you will never be able to eat with your right hand. And the man tried to lift his hand, but his right hand was paralyzed. Yaqul ibn Hajar, he's saying, the ulama, they're saying, that is the most severe punishment. Because messenger of Allah, he made dua against someone who was eating with his left hand after he was taught to eat with his right hand, and he insists eating with his left hand. Most of us, when you have your co-workers who are Muslim, you have your host or your guest, I'm sorry, or even your host, you're eating with someone and you see them eating with left or eating with right, drinking with left, and you feel shy to display the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to correct the person. As a matter of fact, today you should walk away from here and learn that, listen, this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us implement that. طيب, what number am I? Number 6, number 7, number, what number am I? Number 8, number 9. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never used to eat reclining. You know, he never used to, because that's a sign of arrogance. He never used to, you know, recline and then eat food. He always used to sit up and then eat food with respect. No reclining, no leaning on the side, because that's a sign of arrogance. Also, Ibn al-Qayyim, he mentioned, number 10, that the messenger of Allah used to eat with 3 fingers. Not 10 fingers, mashallah, 3 fingers. So you pick your food with 2 fingers and a thumb, and you eat like that. Because that would limit how much you put in your mouth at a time. So this is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number 11. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never used to overeat. Us, mashallah, tabarakallah, we have appetizers. We have a main course. We have dessert. And after we finish all, we have coffee or tea. Am I right, ya ibadallah? We eat so much, so much. Like at the restaurant, you know, I found myself going to the food like Safa or Marwa, going, mashallah, going, coming back 7 times, mashallah. 2 of them were coffee, but the rest of 5, I went for food. That's too much. As a Muslim, if you want to follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you should eat a little bit. You should eat a little bit, not too much, as the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do. Rasulullah never ate enough that he filled his belly with, will always, you know, break the pain of hunger and move on. Leave the food while you're still desiring it. Not because the food stopped you and you can no longer put anything into the system. No, eat enough that it breaks your heart, it breaks your hunger. طيب. You want to know the favorite types of food that the messenger of Allah used to like? Let us go over his favorite food, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His favorite food was first honey. Messenger of Allah used to love honey and something sweet, anything sweet. He had a sweet tooth, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha radiyallahu anhu fi sahih al-Bukhari of Muslim, she said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يحب الحلوى والعسل. Messenger of Allah used to love sweets and honey. And by the way, remember that honey got him in trouble. Remember that when he got in trouble with When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayat, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ لِمَا تُحَرِّمُ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَكَ تَبْتَغِي مَرْضَ O Prophet, O Nabi of Allah, why would you deprive yourself what Allah made it halal for you? And what was that? That was honey. Because some of the wives of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was Hafsa and Aisha. Some of the wives of the Messenger of Allah, Hafsa wa Aisha, they felt one of the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would frequently go back to one of the houses of one of their co-wives. And that was Umm Salama, some of the narration mentions. And Umm Salama, the Messenger of Allah, used to go to her house periodically for the love of honey because she used to serve him honey. So Hafsa and Aisha, they said, Umm Salama, she's getting all the love from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What should we do? Well, let us do some that will not let him go. Now Rasulullah, by the way, he was very, very concerned, used to be very concerned about his hygiene, personal hygiene. Always wanted to smell nice and fresh. And that's why in Sunan Ibn Majah, when Aisha was asked, what was the Messenger of Allah used to do when he comes home? She said, first thing he used to do, miswak, because he wants to smell fresh. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Aisha and Hafsa, they said, okay, let us do something that will stop him going to that house for the sake of honey. Women, mashallah, tabarakallah. So what should we do? She said, okay, every time he comes back from that house and he tried to come close to you, say, oh, Rasulullah, you smell funny. What did you eat? And he would say, I ate honey. She said, maybe that's why you smell funny. Okay. So one of them did that to the Messenger of Allah. So, you know, one is enough to doubt the Messenger of Allah. Then he went to the second wife. And she did exactly the same thing. He tried to approach her, and she's like, Ya Rasulullah, you smell funny. What did you eat? I ate honey. She said, I think that's the problem. They played well. Then the Messenger of Allah said, Wallahi, I will no longer go to that house and eat honey for that purpose. And then Allah said, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, lima tuharrimu ma ahallallahu laka, tabtaghi mardata azwajik. O Nabi, why would you deprive yourself what Allah made it halal? Trying to please your wives? He tried to please her? So his one of the favorite food was honey, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now, we should eat honey because it was something that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to love. Second, date, tamar. That was his favorite date, favorite meal. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, whoever consumes seven dates of ajwa every day or the beginning of the day, no evil eye, no magic, or poison would affect that person. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every morning, kama fi sahih al-Bukhari al-Muslim, he used to eat date. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to encourage the house dates to be in the house. Listen to this hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Aisha, Ya Aisha, baytun la tamra fihi jiya'un ahla. He say, house that does not have dates, indeed the people of that house are starving. And he repeated twice. So what does that teach us? What does that teach us? It teaches us that we should have dates at home all the time. All the time. Now, I don't know if they have, do they sell dates here? Go buy dates, inshallah, from those brothers and sisters. Because it is a sunnah. And make sure there's date at home all the time. Tamar at home all the time. Now, the other thing, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to like, number three, is vinegar. Khal, al-khal. So when you eat, try to put a little khal for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For the love of Rasulullah, because we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number four, I'm really running out of time. Number four, the Messenger of Allah used to eat and love olive oil. Olive oil. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Kulu zayt. He say, eat, consume olive oil. Wadhanu bih. And use it as a lotion for your skin. instead of all these chemicals and, you know, this crazy product, man-made product, the messenger of Allah said, use olive oil for your skin. It's beautiful. Why? يقول إن صلى الله عليه وسلم فإنه من شجرة مباركة. Olive oil is indeed from a blessed tree. Make sure you have that at home also. Number five, Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم used to love milk. Milk. Always keep milk at home. Used to love milk. And he used to love other things, but we want to go over this, inshallah. Now, this is the meal of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What the Messenger of Allah used to do, I only have 5 minutes. What the Messenger of Allah used to do also during the daytime, he used to take qaylula. He used to sleep a little bit. Qaylula, my dear brothers and sisters, is when you half asleep, half awake, you know, but your body is resting. Every joint of your body is relaxing. You're dozing off. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم سنة. You're like that. That's the qaylula. When you are almost, you know, in another world, but you're still conscious of what is around you. That's qaylula. Not 3 hours sleep. That's what people call qaylula. That's not qaylula. That's full-time sleep, ya ikhwa. You know, qaylula is just a little bit, and then you get up. What was the purpose of that? Because qaylula, when you take qaylula in the middle of the day, this is what would help you to stand up for Qiyam al-Layl. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never used to go back to sleep after Fajr, but he used to take that qaylula to help him out. طيب. Also, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the rest of the day, Rasulullah was a social person, by the way. He wasn't a person who was enclosed only, you know, private people, you know, a few individuals and VIPs. No. He was a social person. He was a simple person. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to walk through the marketplace. He used to walk through bazaar or souq. You know, used to walk through that. And he used to check what they're selling. Not necessarily that he's buying, but he used to check what they're selling, what is in the market, on the market, and so on. And remember hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day he was going through the marketplace and he put his hand in some of the food that he was, one of the guys was selling, one of the sahaba was selling, and then he felt wetness in the bottom of that food. فَقَالَ مَا هَذَا يَا صَاحِبُ الطَّعَامِ He said, what is this, oh my friend? He said, well, it rained so it got wet in the bottom. He said, why don't you put the wet part of whatever you're selling on the top so the people can see it and will not be cheated. And then he said, "Man غَشَّنَا فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا Whoever ever cheats us is not one of us. Also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his adah, from his sunnah, is used to go and visit the sick people or weak people. And that's why in hadith, في حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حديث جابر he used to say انطلقوا إلى بصير الذي في بني فلان he said let us go to the blind man in that neighborhood let us go visit him nowadays especially in the west visiting is almost like a haram thing no one visits anyone I don't know is it the same thing here if you visit someone you got to make an appointment with them أخي July 2019, 6 p.m. on Friday, I'm going to come and see you, inshallah. Are you available? And the person said, let me check my schedule. Can you make it Saturday? No, I'm busy. How about Sunday? Okay, Sunday is good. This is how we live in the West. Back home, I remember when I was growing up in Saudi, my mother used to make tea after Salat al-Asr and cake. And tea and cakes used to be literally all over the living room. And people without appointment, without call, they will just knock on the door. And they will come in, have tea, you know. Now in Canada, if someone comes and knocks on my door, I'm going to call the police on that person. So what are you doing here? Sheikh, I came to visit you. Do you have an appointment? No. Okay, 911. Police, there's some guy coming in here. There is, we don't have that culture anymore. In the West, we do not have that culture. But the Sunnah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't say, send someone to inform Bani Fulan that we're coming to visit them. But in the message, he would say to the Sahaba, let us go and visit so-and-so in that family, in that tribe. Also, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to help anyone that he needs help. He used to be with weak people, with the simple people. My time, I got 43 seconds. But I want to mention something to conclude, and that is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the end of his day, he used to come. Can I have two more extra minutes? Two more minutes? Zakum Allah khair. Can I have four more minutes? Just kidding, inshallah. No, the sunnah, when the messenger of Allah had a long day after Salatul Isha, he used to do this. Sometimes, not much, not often, but sometimes he would spend time with Umar and Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu. Sometimes. But most of the times, the messenger of Allah, right after Salatul Isha, he would go to his house, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would go to his house. Now remember, he had 9 wives at one point. All of the wives, they used to come to the house that he's sleeping that night. And then all of them, they used to talk. Not fight, talk. Not jihad fi sabilillah in the house, no. Talk. They used to come together and they used to socialize and they used to talk to each other and they used to have fun. And the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would laugh, you know, would chat with them, would talk to them. And then at the end, each one of them would go home. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would stay with the wife that he's spending the night with. Now, the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have a lot of sunnah. The sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the way, his bed, he used to sleep in anything. He used to sleep on turab ala ramid, on the dirt, just in the middle of the masjid. He used to have a hasir, it's a little mat that he used to sleep. He used to have a pillow, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he used to sleep with on his izar on. You know what izar is? A lower garment. He used to put his lower garment and he used to cover his upper part with his blanket, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he used to cover himself and his wife, radiyallahu anha. And then he used to sleep the first part of the night. And then the last third of the night, the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would get up, sit up, and recite sometimes the last 10 ayat of Surah Ali Imran, from ayah 190 to 200 ayat. He used to recite. And then after that, he used to get up and pray Qiyam al-Layl, kama hadith sahih Abdullah ibn Abbas. Pray Qiyam al-Layl, he used to pray 11 rak'ah, beautiful rak'ah, with the witr. And then when he finished his witr, he will listen to the adhan of Bilal radiyallahu anhu. And then when he finished, Bilal finished the adhan, he used to pray two rak'ah of sunnah al-subh, which is known fajr. And then, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to lay down on his right side and put his elbow down and raise his head like this. Until Bilal calls for iqama, or until messenger of Allah comes for the time of Iqam, because Bilal used to tell him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, that was a full cycle of a life of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But again, as I always say, no one can claim that he can give you all the detail of a life of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But at least you have that much. Inshallah, try to learn the sunnah of Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the moment that he slept until he woke up the next day. Jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.